This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker,
sex worker,
wench, bow makes her mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, begins to gather to me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
That's a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm your prostitute.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
You have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Thank you to the boys from the Covey House for another warm and fuzzy and entertaining show. I like to think of them as our fluffers. Like
they, and sea warmers.
they're the bit of foreplay that you get before the Vixen Hour. So my name is Christian and I'm your regular host here at the Vixen Hour. The time is 5 minutes past 11. And as our ID has told you, this is your weekly and your only show in the world that is entirely produced and presented by sex workers for you.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on Joy 94.9, and if at any time you'd like to interact with the show, you can do so by sending a text message in on 0427-JOY-949, calling Robert at the front desk on 1300-JOY-949, that's 1300-569-949, sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. You can also find us on social media. We are on Facebook, and you can find us at facebook.com/sexworkerradio, facebook.com/sexworkerradio, and if you are on Twitter, you can also follow us at Vixen Hour. It's always a mouthful to get through all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so
glad it was you and not me.
So listeners, if you're wondering who that voice is, as regular listeners to the Vixen Hour would know that I am joined by a brand new co-host every single week. And this week I am joined by the delightful Riley.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Riley.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Very excited to be here.
Oh, excellent. So I thought we might, every Vixen Hour, we start off by getting to know my co-host because, you know, they're new. And the listener would like to know, who is Riley Alexander?
Well, I'm a Melbourne-based sex worker, originally from New Zealand and have been in Australia for about 32 years. I've been in the industry for about 12 years. Started off doing massage work, erotic massage work, and then progressed to full service after about 3.5 years.
Awesome.
And for the last 3 years of that, I've been doing private work.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
A little bit about me.
Aww.
In a nutshell.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. So every episode of the Vixen Hour, we do, because we do have a new co-host, we do focus, I guess, on the diversity of what sex work means, because we recognise that sex work means something different to everybody. So because we have a new sex worker on, we do ask them, what does sex work mean to you?
Oh, my God. Sex work means so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a freedom to do what I want to do,
yep.
The autonomy in my own workplace or my career and being self-employed. So, you know, there's fundamentals like means to an end, but that's with all occupations. But for me, it goes a lot deeper than that, and it's something that I choose to do happily. I get to pick days I work, whether I work days or nights. Mm-hmm. You know, if I need to take time off at a moment's notice, I can do that. It can also, you know, afford me luxuries that some other people may not be afforded in life as well. But yeah, I get to do like some really nice things for some really nice people.
Oh,
I get to work with some really lost, lonely souls in the world that have maybe no avenue for female affection, let alone social interaction sometimes.
Yay. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so I guess what do you like particularly about doing sex work?
I really, really love working with my hands, first and foremost.
Awesome.
I've never, ever had a job where I haven't worked with my hands in some capacity, whether it be, you know, sewing or working with power tools as a builder's trade assistant. Yeah, I've worked, like, making pastries.
Amazing.
Film processing. cashier, so obviously handling people's groceries and also bartending and stuff like that. So I've always worked with my hands and I really enjoy that.
And it is hands-on work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you started off doing massage. And
yeah, well, I've been massaging since I was a little kid. And it's something that I actually thought that I was going to get into, like, you know, conventional massage, mainstream massage, until I realised that my body just wasn't up for that.
Oh, really?
Because it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that's something that I complain about often. People, like, I do get the occasional phone call, oh, how much for just massage? And I just think, I feel so exhausted.
The feeling of dread that comes over me. Whereas when I first started in the industry, I could do 9-hour shifts 4 or 5 times a week where it was predominantly massage.
Wow.
And I could cope quite well.
Yeah.
But, like, over the years, obviously, you know, the wear and tear on your body.
Uh-huh. How has sex work changed? So you've done sex work for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
So in that time, has the definition of sex work or what sex work means to you, has that changed over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with anything, all things change. You know, like, as time progresses, your thought processing changes about things. My experience with sex work has become more profound over the years. It used to be something that I enjoyed as an ego thing, I suppose. Something that I was really good at.
And
I used to get clients asking me, like, do you enjoy your job? And I'm like, yeah, I really enjoy doing things I'm good at, and I think I'm good at my job, therefore I enjoy my job.
Of course.
But it's become a lot more profound
over
the years.
How so? Like,
it's like just the connection that you have with your clients, the intimacy that's involved.
Yeah.
I don't know, that feeling of, like, I did that really nice thing for them.
And yeah.
Something that they may not have ever experienced before as well.
Yeah. Yay. And when you sort of see
it's
that.
It's a warm, fuzzy moment.
And you do, I often see, like, a change.
From absolutely.
Before the, I guess, the service starts to after can be quite profound as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you did that.
And sometimes it can be like, oh my God, it can be really adversarial with some clients at first.
Yeah.
And you can break that down and let them know that you're not the enemy and actually end up being like on really friendly terms by the end of the booking.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a skill for some people.
Uh-huh. That's always a really good feeling. Yeah. You're so fascinating, Riley. We could talk forever. This is a whole show on you. But we're not. We're going to talk about something else. Tonight's show, we're actually going to focus on sex work and health, which is, you know, a big, juicy topic. So we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about, I guess, how the attitudes towards sex work and health has changed. We're going to rewind the clock back to the 40s and talk about attitudes towards sex
work. Back in time.
Yeah. Jump into the TARDIS to do that. Then we're going to talk about, I guess, some of the health issues that sex workers face and how do we maintain good sexual health.
Yeah.
And then at the end, towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about doctors and how to find a good one.
And what qualifies a good one.
Yeah. So you are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you'd like to send us a text message, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Oh, You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We are talking about sex work and health, and I thought what might be interesting is comparing some attitudes and how the attitude towards sex work and health has changed over the years.
And language.
Yeah, and lots of different things. And sort of in the course of doing that research, I came across a video called Sex Hygiene, which is
the most hysterically boring thing I've ever watched in my whole entire life.
It's not that bad.
But it was like, it got better as the minutes went on.
We've uploaded that video to our Facebook page, which you can check out at facebook.com/sexworkerradio.
It is actually quite educational, I found, compared to like some of the STI books that I've looked up and the little bits of information about each disease. Mm-hmm. This actually really goes into some thorough detail about how the disease actually enters your body.
Yeah.
And especially things with like the spirochetes and the syphilis and stuff. I was fascinated by that part. It's just that guy's voice.
Yeah, it is pretty dry. If listeners do want to check it out, it is on our Facebook page. But yeah, I found it interesting. It was made by the Navy for sailors. And while the whole thing goes for 20 minutes and that would eat up a big chunk of time for us, I thought we would play a bit of a version here. And, you know, to combat that person's dry voice, I have jazzed it up a little bit. So
just a little bit.
Here it goes.
Most of you have, at one time or another, been told about venereal diseases. You've been frightened, and no doubt you've been warned of the terrible consequences of getting a venereal disease. But let's take a common sense view of the problem. Let's look at these various diseases and see what they are, and most important, how they can be prevented. Venereal diseases are caused by specific germs, which are usually transmitted through sex relations with an infected person. The most effective preventive method, therefore, is continence, or total abstinence from illicit sexual intercourse. There are a number of venereal diseases, but the most common are chancroid or soft chancre, gonorrhea or clap, and syphilis. Of these, chancroid is usually the least severe, since the germs do not get into the blood. Gonorrhea or clap is more serious. Though its early stages are localized in the sex organs, if left untreated, it may spread throughout the body, causing permanent damage wherever it strikes. Contact with these germs causes the disease. In women, there are seldom any external symptoms, so that there is no way for you to tell if a woman is infected. But the chances are that she is infected if she is promiscuous or a prostitute. For over half the prostitutes of the United States have gonorrhea. And in most foreign countries, the proportion is much greater. Of the three most common diseases, however, by far the most dangerous is syphilis. A recent study shows that 13 of every 1,000 Americans of marriageable age have syphilis. However, a study of American prostitutes reveals that of every 1,000, at least 360 are syphilitic. And in many countries, the rate is even higher. All of these diseases are preventable, and their prevention requires neither complicated equipment nor extensive technical knowledge. It's a matter of a few simple precautions plus a little ordinary common sense. First, there are several elementary facts to be kept in mind. Most prostitutes are infected. The average free pickup is also likely to be infected. Obviously, then, the surest way to avoid venereal disease is to avoid sexual contact with all promiscuous women, whether they demand money or not. There are many places within a woman's sex organs in which germs may escape detection, in spite of repeated examinations by even a competent physician. For this reason, any medical certificate which a prostitute may produce is worthless. Moreover, she may easily have become infected half an hour after her examination. But if, despite this danger, you should expose yourself, there are preventive measures which will diminish the risk. The most effective single method is the condom or rubber sheath. Don't get drunk and carelessly expose yourself without protection. But if you should contract a venereal disease, don't try to conceal it. For an untreated venereal disease is extremely dangerous to your shipmates, to your family, and to yourself. The Navy supplies you with expert medical attention. It does everything possible to safeguard and preserve your health. But it's up to you to use your own common sense. Take advantage of this, for no one can help you if you will not help yourself.
Oh, brilliant, riveting stuff.
Hello, 1942. Oh, so a lot has changed since then, though, hey?
Thank fuck God for that. Let's leave God out of it.
Oh, God, like lots of things. So, like, starting from the language, so even, like, calling them venereal diseases, yeah. I think that's it's nice flowery language.
Yeah.
You know, the word venereal, it's meant to relate to, you know, anything sexual or to do with your genitals, and it comes from Venus.
Yes.
So, you know, it's quite a nice flowery romantic language. But so these days we don't call them venereal diseases. We, of course, call them sexually transmissible infections. And just like a few of the other language notes, they say germs.
Yes, and the germs.
Yeah. Whereas we would call them virus or bacteria, viruses or bacteria. I love how they say sexual relations. Whereas today we would say sex, vaginal sex, oral sex, anal sex. Yeah. And, you know,
it's all about using like proper and correct words and grown up words as well now.
Yeah. And I think the more we do that, the more like scientifically accurate, but also when you're referring to things, it's best not to flower up the language. Yeah. So, you know, wiping out all opportunities for misinterpretation. And of course, they use the word prostitutes all the time in 1942.
Yes.
And we say sex workers today.
Yes.
But yes, so that is language. But a few of the other points that they come across. So they identified as the most common STIs being chancroid, gonorrhea and syphilis.
Love them. They're my favourite three.
Uh-huh, the golden three,
yeah.
The holy trinity.
Yeah.
But we don't even see chancroid anymore. So
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, until that video.
I like to think I'm reasonably well educated on STIs.
We'll go through why we haven't heard of it these days in a minute. But so the most common STIs that we see in 2013 in Australia are warts, herpes, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis and HIV. Now, we talked about chancroid, and they identified it as a pretty common venereal disease.
Yeah.
But in Australia, chancroid happens, the case is something like 1 in every 2 million. So it's a fairly low, uncommon occurrence. And it's usually associated with people who are visiting developing countries and bringing, I guess, the infection back home. Yeah, so it's a fairly rare thing. So we don't really talk about it that much. But some other points that they made was over half, and I'm using the language that they use in the film, over half the prostitutes in America have gonorrhea. And I found that like super interesting for a whole bunch of reasons. But in Australia, we actually have the data to be able to compare. So according to the STI epidemiological surveillance data that's produced by the Kirby Institute, of all the young heterosexual men presenting for STI testing, 16% had tested positive for gonorrhea, 15% of young heterosexual women, so that's between the age of 16 and 19, that's pretty high.
It is.
Mm. Yeah. If we're talking about the LGBTI community, IQ community, men who have sex with men had 9.1% gonorrhea positivity.
Which kind of makes sense because there's a lot more peer education within the gay community about STIs.
Yeah, so a lot more people are presenting for testing.
Absolutely. Mm.
But what people would be surprised and what totally goes against the point they made
the
in the film. The film is, they said over half the prostitutes in America had gonorrhea. Of all the sex workers who presented for testing in 2010, according to the surveillance data, only 5%
tested positive for gonorrhea.
Yeah. So that's about, half as many gay men. So, and when they sort of put a whole pile of interest groups, the data together, and it's sex workers do consistently come at the bottom of that list as far as prevalence goes. So the next set of data they talked about was to do with syphilis.
The syph.
The syph. and they said something like 13 Americans of marigeable age.
I know, I love marriageable age.
What does that even mean?
Especially in the 1940s, marriageable age, you know.
Yeah. How, is that 16? 14? Yeah. Yeah. And 36% of prostitutes.
Yes, dirty little prostitutes.
Yeah, 36%.
Running around infecting all those naval officers.
With syphilis. But time travel back to today in 2013, again, back to the Kirby Institute's national surveillance data, of all the people who presented for testing, 5% had tested positive for syphilis, which is
of
actually
all the people, yeah.
Yeah, that came.
That's the interesting part. Mm.
Which is interesting because it's more than the 1942 data if we say 1.3% of, you know, Americans of marriageable age.
Yeah.
But I think that's because more people are going for testing now.
I also wonder, like, back in the 1940s when those 3% were testing positive, mm-hmm. how many people were going untested?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because, you know, there's a lot of death reports mm-hmm. from syphilis.
Yeah.
People that have gotten to that stage where they've gone mad and
all
of those other things, you know, the organ
failure.
And
syphilis is pretty hard to ignore. So when you get, you know, into phase two of syphilis, it's an all-over body rash.
Hard to ignore. Yeah.
You're not going to miss that. Yeah.
Although they did mention in the video that it can be similar to some other, like, indicators for other diseases.
Yeah.
And then you need to do the blood testing of course, mm-hmm. which is probably one of the first things doctors would do today.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, only 3% of sex workers.
Yeah, who presented for testing in Australia tested positive for syphilis. So I think that's pretty
really
good.
Low.
Yeah, so that's half the number of the general population presenting for testing. So I think the overall message here is that sex workers have really, really good sexual health, and that's reflected in the data. And, I mean, it's not like we're avoiding testing, particularly here in Victoria, where we must go for mandatory testing, or else we can't work in places like brothels or escort agencies. So, yeah, that's one of the biggest changes, I think, from 1942 to today. I think in Australia, where we have a regulated industry and everything is out there in the open and doctors can see sex workers and, you know, I think we still experience a lot of judgment and stigma, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And we definitely have a lot more better sexual health than we did back then.
Yes, absolutely. I do find it really interesting, though, that they mentioned medical certificates back in the 1940s.
Yeah. And they did make that point that, you know, just because someone has a medical certificate doesn't mean...
I was really quite surprised that that would be something that they would discuss, that women would be getting medical certificates.
Yeah, and that it's
sex
no...
workers would be, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a point that I agree with, that, you know, it actually doesn't prove that that person doesn't have an infection. We're going to go to a bit of a break now, but we are going to come back and talk about mandatory testing. So that's a really apt point of the discussion to listen to some messages. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Uh-huh. 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 Let's talk about sex by Salt and Pepper.
Yes.
How appropriate.
Now let's talk about sex testing.
Uh-huh. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a genius.
I thought you'd see what I did there.
We have received some messages of support. We love that. You know.
Yes, we've gotten some really cute messages.
I got a really cute one from my boyfriend. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Doug.
Great opening show. Great opening song. Yay. I thought so too. I love the Divinals. Yeah, we at the top of the hour, we did feature the Divinals. I touched myself. I thought that was appropriate too.
With clean hands.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very interesting show. Great to have shows like this that are open and honest. Do sex workers engage with people with a disability? Now, that's a really interesting question.
It is.
Yeah. I certainly do.
I do.
Yeah. And I actually include that in my advertising as well, that I say that I see people with a disability. But I think we could do a whole other show on that.
I think it is another show. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
So just to answer the question, yes.
Yeah,
sex workers do, mm-hmm. and there is an association called Touching Base, which helps to train sex workers to deal with people with different disabilities, and that's a whole other show.
So that is a whole other show.
Yeah, that's huge.
Great, guys. It's great to hear your voices after a long day recovering from last night's raunchy encounter. Have a fabulous evening, and that's love from Mindy.
I want to hear about the raunchy encounter.
All right, text in. The beautiful Dean Beck has texted in. Dean Beck, of course, is a host of Hide and Seek here on Joy
94.9. What does he hide?
Wouldn't you want to know? My favourite sex ed history lesson. In some ways, we have come so far, yet in others, like schools, we may as well be in the 1950s. That's absolutely true. Some things have changed and some have stayed the same. We'll get around to the rest of the message after our talk, because if we can answer all these SMSs, we're just not going to get around.
Mandatory testing. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. So we did touch on this slightly last show with the beautiful Jane Green. Oh, wonderful. So despite the good sexual health that sex workers do experience and demonstrate via their epidemiological data, we still are forced to see doctors to get their approval in order to work here in Victoria.
I was just going to say about the epidemiological studies, obviously that's helped us here in Victoria because we now only have to do 3 monthly mandated testing as opposed to the 1 monthly that we've put up with for, you know.
Since the law came in, in 1994. But there's been, and there's a lot of sort of data, a lot of sort of evidence that has been generated as to why they should have changed that. So a great big push for that, that caused that change was coming from Melbourne Sexual Health. They put out a report that sort of compared how much it actually costs to do monthly testing of sex workers.
Yeah.
As well as...
That was the big report.
Yeah.
I didn't get through the whole 32 pages.
So, yeah, the government actually saves a lot of money by not having to test us as regularly. Yeah. And I think we sort of have demonstrated that we don't really need to be tested that regularly.
We absolutely don't need it. And it is redundant, the whole concept.
And when you look at other communities like young people, men who have sex with men, who do experience a higher prevalence of STIs.
That's where the funding should be directed.
If you ever walked into Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, if you get in there late during the day, that waiting room is full, and I have seen people get turned away from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you know,
I don't go often enough, but I think I've spent like a good part of 4 hours there before.
Yeah, yeah, it is chockers.
Yeah.
So yeah, sexual health services for us it is a legal thing. It's not a health response.
No.
Yeah, it's the government thinking.
We're wasting time for the people that are actually symptomatic who do need to be there, need treatment and assessment. And
yeah. See, for us, it's a pain in the ass. We turn up there and we're like, oh, I have to spend all this time. I know I don't have anything. I haven't had a condom break. I don't do any unsafe services.
Yeah, I don't put myself at risk.
Yeah. And we're sitting there rolling our eyes the whole time in the waiting room where some kid walks in stressed out of their brain because they've got a wart or a herpes lesion and don't know what to do with it.
Or a pimple.
It could be a pimple.
I went to my doctor with a pimple once going, oh, I think I've got herpes.
So, yes, mandatory testing. We're glad that it's sort of reduced to 3 months. It'd be nice to get rid of it altogether. But that's what the government thinks that we need to have to maintain good sexual health. And, you know, we keep mounting the argument that it's not.
I also feel like it's the government's way of reassuring the general public that they're on top of keeping us in line and clean and safe interact with.
But as opposed to looking at the actual evidence that shows, actually, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things that keep us safe.
Yes.
So we thought we might talk about some of what those things are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
obviously education is key.
Yeah. And I think more importantly is peer education. Yeah. So being able to connect with other sex workers and talk about that. I know certainly my sexual health practice has changed because of engagement with other sex workers.
Yeah. Well, mine has as well. Like I started off doing massage work and I think I'd been working in the parlour for 4 months before I was even told I needed to hand in a medical.
Yeah, wow.
Which I thought was really odd. But then it was, you know, a couple of years nearly before I started working in a full service parlour still doing massage, where the other ladies around me were discussing health checks. They called them STD checks back then, you know, because we're talking over a decade ago. And I was like, oh, what's this business?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we would discuss it freely and discuss the ways that they did it as well.
Yeah.
And then by the time that I went over to doing full service, I just adapted quite easily and started doing my health checks and also learning the language of saying health checks instead of STD checks because that implies that I'm looking for something suspicious already.
So for the listener who may not realise, but performing a health check on clients is a standard part of a service that's from a sex worker. So do you want to describe what actually happens during a health check?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, you want to get your client before he has his shower and hopefully before he's urinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, if there's gonorrhea present, then...
Or chlamydia.
Yeah. Then the urethra can be cleansed, I suppose, if they've urinated before you do the health check, because you milk the penis.
Yes, to see if there's any discharge.
So I actually lay them down on the bed so I can get my hands on everything and I can see properly, and I check around under their testicles and between their thighs, and I check through their pubic hair even for crabs or scabies and stuff like that. I thoroughly roll the penis back and forth and turn it over and roll it back and forth to check for anything that might hide in little folds or wrinkles or whatever when it's flaccid.
Yep.
And then I milk it. Which is always the best way to go. Milk, yes, beautiful, jump in the shower.
Cute. And that's a standard part of every service that you provide, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And what are clients' attitudes towards that?
Some clients can be really, really self-conscious and don't want to pull their pants down. Sometimes they pull their underwear down so it sits tight under their scrotum. And I'm like, no, darling, I really need to get my hands on everything.
Yeah.
You know, lay down, relax.
But part of it is making them comfortable.
It is. And I do I do try and keep physical contact with them as well during the health check.
Yep.
I think that can be reassuring. But some guys really just have meltdowns about it.
Oh, really?
I had one guy scream not my eeny weeny. Well, I was trying to push him down and sit down. And I think he got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He'd never ever seen a sex worker before and had never had a health check before. And
he
was an African gentleman as well. So it's it's very different. Their education is very different over there, and it's stigma, taboo to talk about sex and sexual diseases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I do understand from that personal point of view, and I tried to make it more fun with him.
For me, the health checks are a very informal part. I mark it out formally during the session so that people know that that's what I'm doing, and it sort of instills in their mind that I am conscious of these things all the time, and it is safety first all the time.
I've actually sorry to interrupt, but just I get some clients occasionally that go, oh, I've never had this before.
Oh, wow.
And I just am really, really stunned that my colleagues aren't all on top of it.
Yeah.
And so I always tell them, especially in a brothel environment, if you ever have a lady, a service provider, who's not performing a health check on you before the service, please inform management, because she may not know.
Yeah.
She may not be educated. Maybe someone hasn't told her when she started at a brothel. Sometimes these things, get...
Yeah.
Forgotten?
Yeah. We don't have a certificate for in harlotry.
No.
And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about was a big part of what keeps us safe as well is having a really non-judgmental approach.
Absolutely.
So being able to be open and talk about those things, whatever we see. Because, sometimes, particularly syphilis, if they've got a chancre, that's a painless lesion.
Yeah.
So,
it may be in an area that they don't touch or...
Or can see.
Yeah, can
easily.
See.
So... Yes, that is our approach. And there is always something to do. So if somebody is symptomatic, we can tell them where to go, where to get checked, as well as offer services that will be safe for that, for whatever condition.
Yeah, non-sex services or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is us, keeping each other safe. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are here back at the Vixen Hour. How are you all? Hi, Riley.
Hi, Christian.
We do have a few more messages. We are about to talk about doctors, but before we do, loving your show. Good choice of music for the topic.
Mistress
and that's from
Bella.
Mistress Bella. Hi, Mistress Bella. Catching next weekend. Oh, yes, next weekend.
What's next weekend?
Very exciting. Sex workers have their very own group at Pride March.
Pride March. I'm missing out.
Oh, no. We're missing out on you too.
But I'm going to be in King's Cross, so I'll have my own little Pride March.
Fantastic. If the listener does want to join us at Pride March, we will be there. The details are on our Facebook page. So, yes, like that. Thanks, Bella, for reminding me. Thanks, Mistress Bella. We've also had Finally Awake to Listen Live. Loving the show. I'm all over it like a rash.
See what she did there.
Yeah. Thanks, Hannah from Little Fish. Amazing. Yay. And we've had, hi there. In this economy, does the corporate sector use services more frequently as other demographics? Great show. Well, that's an interesting question. It's really hard to know. We don't really keep data on clients. I guess clients are more interested in their privacy, confidentiality and discretion. So
absolutely. I mean, I know we sometimes find patterns in our own clientele. You know, and it's sometimes just on a daily basis. Like some days I might see like three clients from the IT industry.
Yep.
And other days it's carpenters. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Like, so daily carpenters. Patterns I have, but I can't think of like any one majority group that I see overall.
Yeah. It would
and be that even includes like big men, skinny men, married men, single men. Like I really find it's a really diverse group of all.
Yeah. There are sort of market research or business analyst groups that do try to, I guess, put out some data out there. But I kind of question, how did they gather that information?
Yeah. I want to know who's putting their hands up. Yep, that was me in my lunch break.
Okay, I was there. Or like, they, you know, there's like some guy with a clipboard out the front of a brothel.
Yes, that would be very interesting.
But yes, so rather than, you know, dubious research, we would rather people hear from the voices of actual sex workers.
We went to the people.
Yeah. And that's why we've put together a radio show for y'all. And now here on the Vixen Hour, we are going to talk about we are talking about sex work and health. And a key part of that is seeing the right doctor.
It's
a juicy topic.
It
contentious.
Is. It can be. It's something I've never actually had a serious problem with, but I know a lot of my colleagues have.
Yeah.
I've been absolutely blessed to have been pointed in the right direction to a doctor in St Kilda originally when I had to start getting tested, and he was fantastic. And then when I moved, I just by accident had to front up at a doctor with an emergency cut on my finger. Mm-hmm. And he was so awesome that I went, you know, I'm coming back, and by the time we're finished, you're going to know me so well. And he sort of joked, oh, you're going to help me. Going to fund my retirement, are you? Like,
amazing. But there are a lot of issues for sex workers.
Definitely.
Yeah. So quite often sex workers, we are forced by law to see a doctor. So we do have to see when we, you know, if we're going to work legally and to the letter of the law, we do have to see a GP. So that means we have to actually tell a GP that we do sex work.
Yes,
so,
because we need to provide certificates if we work in brothels, otherwise we can't work.
Yeah, and it's also part of being as honest as possible, and that's good health practice.
Well, it really is, because if you don't tell your healthcare professionals how you may possibly be getting sick or injured or what have you, like depending on what healthcare professional it is, then they can't really help you properly.
And they're, you know, taking shots in the dark if they do that.
But sometimes doctors can look down their nose at you once they've heard you're a sex worker, unless of course you're going to MSHC, which is the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, for people who don't know, on Swanson Street in Carlton.
Yeah, who are very proactive about seeing sex work, making their service sex worker friendly.
Absolutely.
As sex worker friendly as possible. They are very busy though.
Yeah. So the mandated testing really uses up the resources there, because a lot of sex workers will go there because they are so open and non-judgmental, as opposed to, you know, a random doctor who may make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And also, you know, doctors have the right to discriminate against seeing sex workers.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is appalling.
Yeah. I know. There's one law that forces us to see sex workers, and then there's another law that prevents protecting us from discrimination from doctors. It's
from somebody who's supposed to not discriminate against anybody.
Yeah. It's bizarre. So, yes, there are a number of issues for us. And so, you know, a lot of reasons why people go to Melbourne Sexual Health is because they don't want to see their regular family GP that they've seen all their life, who might be seeing
privacy issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this person, you know, has seen their parents and brothers and sisters. They may not want to go to that doctor for and disclose sex work.
Yeah, it can be a really dicey situation. You know, I had a colleague who was in that situation, seeing her GP, and she noticed on the doctor's computer screen one time that all her family members' names were listed and, you know, things next to them. And she's just suddenly realised, like, oh, my God, when my family members are here, they're going to see my name listed and sex worker next to it. But there was also, once her mother found out, her mother you know, had a bit of a nervous breakdown and complained to the doctor and complained to the receptionist. And the next time my friend went in for her testing, the receptionist actually abused her for treating her mother so badly, which is so highly inappropriate.
And this is the level of stigma and discrimination that sex workers face
every
day.
Absolutely, even from medical professionals. Crazy.
Isn't it? So we went to, well, here at the Vixen Hour, we are all about listening to the voices of sex workers. So we kind of did the same thing. We went to Facebook.
We hit up Facebook.
Jumped on a lot of the groups that are made up of just sex workers.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and posed the question.
Ask a sex worker question is a bit more open.
Yeah, so that's
an
open public one.
Yeah, specific sex worker groups as well.
Yeah, so
we got some good answers.
We did get some good answers. Do you want to run through some of the points that people have made?
Okay, so yeah, we got Jackie from South Australia, and I think this is my favourite answer. Mm-hmm. She brings up first and foremost, you know, that knowledge around how safe and aware we are about STIs is really good. You know, acknowledging that we're on top of our sexual health, that HIV transmission between worker to client is pretty much, well, non-existent. And it is.
Yeah.
There is not a single reported case from client to worker or from worker to client.
Yeah. So despite some of the 22,000 diagnoses of HIV that has happened in Australia, absolute zero has happened in a sex worker setting.
None of it. But yeah, also like the doctor's understanding some of the stigmas and stereotypes that are attached to sex work is really good. You know, it sort of puts you at ease. And also regards to mental health and your sexual health as a combined holistic approach as well.
Yeah, and also being able to refer us to other services that are going to be just as non-judgmental. So,
definitely.
You know, if you know, a recurring issue that people, that, you know, sex workers talk about, it isn't sexual health. It's actually things like your knees and your back.
Yeah.
Because,
wrists.
So getting a referral to a good physio is an essential thing.
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, you want to be able to be referred to someone who's going to be non-judgmental. So even if you find a good doctor, you still have to find a whole bunch of other, like, allied health professionals who are going to be just as good. So, yeah, that's a challenge too. So what are some of the other
points? If anybody actually is after information about non-judgmental allied health professionals, then just contact us at the Vixen Hour and we can provide a list of all sorts of therapists and healthcare professionals.
And we talked about last week, you know, if you want to get in touch with peer-based sex worker organisations, to contact the Scarlet Alliance.
Absolutely.
And they'll be able to point you in the right direction. So other answers that people have put up, there are some really, really good ones. Non-judgmental is kind of like a hallmark.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And we
it's
can tell.
The rudimentary part.
Yeah. And we can tell when you're pretending to be non-judgmental. We've seen it all before. We've seen the attitude change like
the
that.
Pause. Mm-hmm. The pause. The pause. The pregnant pause.
And some people have shared really, really amazing stories about how doctors have demonstrated that, you know, they are interested in the human rights of sex workers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Eva from here in Victoria has talked about, she saw a doctor who said she was glad that testing had been reduced to being less frequent and acknowledged sort of the waste of resources and the good sexual health that sex workers had exhibited. She was a whole package, non-judgmental, informed, professional, and actually interested in treating me as a sex worker, so recognising me and the skill set that I have.
That's the whole ethos behind the clinic, though, that that Eva has presented at, is the non-judgmental approach and, you know, extra education into things like sexual health, not just general practitioning. You know?
Absolutely. And it's another really good point. Quite often the clinics that the GLBTIQ community present at are very non-judgmental, very open, very used to working with STI, sexual health stuff. So quite often are very good at seeing sex workers.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a little tidbit about how to find a good doctor. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We're going to some messages.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We have had some text messages.
Oh, I haven't even been checking.
So we have very... Oh, sorry. You're clicking all over the place.
Ah, I didn't realise that did that.
Very insightful show. Well done to both of you.
Oh,
and that's
thank you.
From anonymous anonymous texter 317. I think that might be... I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm not going to say. Hi, guys. Like every week, I'm enjoying really enjoying the Vixen Hour, hoping to be there on Sunday and still all right marching with you as friend supporter of many sex workers. Yay, friendship always. Kathy.
Yay,
and
thanks, yay, Kathy.
Thanks for that message, Kathy. Amazing. Oh, Riley... We have come to the end of the show.
I was like freaking out that I wasn't going to be able to fill the time. Uh-huh. And now we're like, there's so many things that we didn't get to discuss.
Oh, but look, you have to come back.
I will, I promise.
Yay. Absolutely.
But next week.
Next week, we have a very juicy topic.
See what I did there? Uh-huh.
Sex work and the law. Oh.
And who else are we going to have for that?
So the fabulous Estelle
is
coming in to talk about sex work and the law.
Very propitious.
Uh-huh. Excellent. It's going to be a juicy show. And you can stay connected to us during the week. Via our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. That's the Vixen Hour's Facebook page, is facebook.com/sexworkerradio, and on Twitter at Vixen Hour. But yes, that is the end of the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. We are going to see us out with some great Australian music because it is that public holiday.
Oh, yeah.
this is the Midnight Juggernauts Into the Galaxy. You've been listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy
94.9.
Night. Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.